You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
The Public Investment Corporation, Africa's largest public asset manager with assets north of 2.6 trillion rands worth of public servant funds, has an isibaya fund that has invested a little over 88 billion rand across 15 companies and yet has managed to return nothing in terms of return on that investment. We're going to be taking a look at this. We're going to be taking a look at the PIC as it stands at the moment and trying to make sense of what might be going on there. I'm joined on the line by founder and director at Karuska Consulting, Kaya Sotole, to see if we can make sense of this. Kaya, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. What's happening at the PIC?
Well, that's a difficult question that even the PIC cannot seem to answer. So in essence, we do have an institution that unfortunately does tend to swing from one crisis to another. And obviously, over the past decade, its biggest crisis was unpacked during the Mpati Commission, which really made some damning findings and some important recommendations about how that entity should be governed and what the best, you know, structure needed to be. For a long time, we thought they were headed in that direction, but it looks like whenever difficult questions have to be answered, there are questions that leave you wondering about how exactly the mandate of the PIC is being executed versus how it should be executed and what the longer term consequences are to all of us. Because quite importantly, as one must keep reminding people, the GEPF, which is the primary client of the PIC, operates a defined benefit fund. In other words, if the PIC gets it wrong, it's the taxpayers who have to foot the bill. It's always important to remind people of that.
Kaya, we'll come back to long-term conversations in a bit. I want to take a look at the isibaya fund in particular. We've reached out to the PIC, to National Treasury, to try and get either spokesperson to give us a sense of what's happening there. From what we can gather, over 15 companies have been invested in. Some of them still exist today. Over 88 billion rand of those public funds that you speak of have been invested into these companies. And yet an ROI, a return on investment, has not been able to be achieved from any of these investments. How do we reconcile that just from a basic investment purpose?
Well, there's a couple of things that you need to clarify here. The isibaya fund is indeed where the PIC decided it needed to house its unlisted investments, and you can already understand the attraction behind that. What the PIC does is that it generally employs other asset managers to invest on its behalf, and those asset managers are competing for PIC funds, which means that if asset manager one gives us returns of 10%, asset manager two knows what the benchmark is, they will try to give us more. Now, when you then come to the same asset managers and then you say, we want to pursue a blend of economic and social objectives, that inevitably translates to a sacrifice on economic returns. Whether people like that or not, it is a fact. So naturally, it'd be very difficult to find asset managers, or rather, they'd be reluctant on asset managers to take up that mandate, knowing that it may look like they're underperforming their own peers. And the reason it would look like that is that, unfortunately, in spite of the PIC's convictions, political or otherwise, we still do not know how the social objectives must be measured. So is it a question of, if you pursue purely economic objectives, 15% as a return is the answer, but if you've been given a dual mandate, then 12% is the answer, which means 3% is an accepted haircut? We do not know that. So it would create a very problematic situation for asset managers if they had to take on this mandate, which really is one of the motivations for why the PIC had to do it internally. The problem with doing it internally, and also the problem with focusing on unlisted funds, is that we immediately lose access to the transparent information that you would get if you were an asset manager investing in listed equities, for example, because you and I can independently validate that you paid 10 rand for a share of Steinhoff when its value was 5 rand. What were you smoking? When it comes to unlisted investments, we do not have access to that information. We have to rely on the periodic returns that the PIC would publish. And unfortunately, it hasn't always been a linear reporting model where you could always track who got funded, how much they got funded for, what their returns were, and what the value of the investment is. So it's always really been a matter of, until somebody tables a question or there is a proper disclosure in the financial statements, it's never easy to track the performance of this rare fund. What we do know now is that a parliamentary member did ask the question from the finance minister, and the finance minister came back with an answer that, again, leaves a lot of people concerned about, well, couldn't we have done better? And the answer is that we could have. The question is, at what cost?
Kai, speaking of the finance minister, speaking of that long-term outlook and plan that we spoke about at the start of the conversation. I want to get your thoughts on another challenge the PIC has been plagued with. We had a chief investment officer. The chief investment officer and the PIC parted ways by way of mutual agreement. Since then, we were told we were going to be splitting that CIO role into three separate chief investment officer roles. To date, we still don't have any of those roles filled. Are we saying that the largest public asset manager on the African continent is without any of its chief investment officers?
Unfortunately, until there's an announcement that says people have been employed, the answer is that those positions have not been filled. So as I said earlier on, they kept swinging from one model to the other. Many years ago, the question of the CIO, or rather the role of the CIO, was occupied by a particular individual, and then there was a chief executive officer. When the individual who was the then CIO became the CEO, he decided to bring his old briefcase into his new office. In other words, the CEO and the CIO office were then conflated into one. That created significant problems with accountability and really the definition of where the lines of accountability were. The Budget Commission comes back and says, actually, we must go back to the old model, which is where we had the CIO separately from the CEO's office. Unfortunately, that isn't an easy job to handle. And as it turns out, the most recent CIO left his job after a very, very, very problematic and a very, very muddy process. In response to that, the PIC then said, well, actually, instead of one, we should have three CIOs to focus on what they regard as their three key business pillars. It is those three CIOs that we're still waiting for them to announce and to also be very clear about what is it that they think they will do better or do differently when they split the role into three. So until there's an announcement that says these are the three, there is indeed a vacuum.
Kaya, your final thoughts on what that vacuum means for the administration and the management of public funds?
I think the great tragedy is that even valid and legitimate deals that should be in the pipeline probably don't proceed as fluidly as they should when there are significant, you know, decision-making vacancies. And of course, there will be those that are able to administer the process, onboard transactions, but ultimately you do end up with the situation where the fluidity or the transaction flow is not as good as it can be if there are significant vacancies out there. They may be acting people, but that means that they now have to do a role that they're not employed to. The complications are quite easy to see. But I think quite importantly, it's a stability in the PIC that remains elusive. We thought they had aced it with their previous CEO and the previous CIO who seemed to have been there for the term that they should have been. At least the CEO completed his term. The CIO didn't. We were hoping that stability was going to be the answer. It doesn't look like that recipe has been perfected yet.
Certainly answers are needed, and we will continue to see if we can get those answers. Our request remains out to the Public Investment Corporation, as well as the stakeholder of the Public Investment Corporation in the form of National Treasury, to see if we can get some clarity on what seems to be unfolding at the PIC. For now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Founder and director at Karuska Consulting, Kaya Sotole, joining us to share his thoughts on the Isibaya Fund at the PIC that has failed to deliver a return on investment on the 88 billion rand it has deployed.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.